Hello, I am Ross McCauley and welcome to the Police Brief, where this week we will be passing sentence on the police cuts and the effect it has on our city of Liverpool. Today we are joined by Ian Whitfield, experienced former Merseyside police officer turned lecturer, and also former Detective Superintendent Richard Carr. So now, let's talk cuts. To both of you, what do the cuts mean for the Merseyside Police?
Well, not just an issue for the Merseyside Police, obviously, because the police service across the UK has lost, would you believe, a staggering 20,000 police officers since 2010. In fact, in the four-year period from March 2012 to March 2016, the national strength of the police service went from 134,000 down to 124,000. So there have been significant cuts. And to me, it's a two-tier issue. On the one hand, you have the immediate effects, which mean that police officers are less visible on the streets of the city. But also, it also means that when you call the police, the response times may get a little bit longer. Or in some cases, for lower-end crime, the police service might decide not to come at all and ask you to come into police stations or report things online. The longer-term issue is the effect that has on police public relations, because one of the defining features of the model that we have in this country is the proximity and the involvement of the police with the community. And sadly, police officers aren't as visible as they once were, and my concern is about the long-term effects of this.
When we look at the national average, it appears that there's a 16.4% rise in crime on Merseyside as of this year. How do you feel the police will be able to deal with this?
Picking up on Ian's point and that statistic, you've got to look to do things differently, haven't you? You can't keep doing the same thing time and time again when you've got fewer people to do it and you've got greater numbers of crimes to investigate. So you've got to look for alternative solutions. So by way of an example, you may look for some greater engagement with a partner agency that they may be able to support you in some aspects of your work. You may need to look for perhaps civil remedies in some instances whereby it is very difficult in some cases to prosecute people if the evidence just isn't there or it's just not a strong enough case. So there are many different aspects in terms of civil remedies that you could exploit, that you could deal with it in just a slightly different way.
And it's interesting because one of the strengths of the police service tends to be that it's adaptable, it's innovative. And it tends to look for novel solutions to problems. And in testing times like this, that's the very moment when those strengths come to the fore. But I think when you hear politicians making the claim that there will be no visible difference to the level of service, I think they're being disingenuous, to say the least.
Well, what you've also got to do is, when we talk about doing things differently, you've got to stop doing some things as well.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep doing the same things over and over again when you haven't got the people to do it. So it's looking about how to do things differently, how to engage differently, you know, so use the media in a slightly different way, use technology to communicate with your victims of crime, etc., or allow them to report crime in a different way to reduce the impact on your resources.
It's probably true, because if you are looking for that one silver lining to what seems to be a very black cloud, it is the fact that it's forced the police service and others to ask fundamental questions of themselves, to say, what are we here to do? Are we perhaps overextending ourselves? But it reminds me of the old analogy when they talk about accountants and bean counters. They know the price of everything and the value of nothing. And I worry about the wider effect on police community relations because it's quite staggering. In your service, you'll have seen this many times, Richie, is that the number of times that people will ring the police for the most ridiculous things. But what it does demonstrate is that the police service tend to be the first choice in people's minds when they're in a tight spot or they've got some difficulty. Now, of course, it's not very businesslike or efficient, but it does speak volumes about the esteem in which the police service are held in the eyes of the public.
It's a question for Ian. With the amount of students in Liverpool and given your role as a lecturer, do you worry that the cuts will affect the safety of the students?
Not really, because I think what you have to remember is that whilst that there are some tangible effects of the cuts, Liverpool is a very safe city and Merseyside Police are still providing a very high level of service to the county of Merseyside. So I think in real terms, there's no fundamental cause for concern about your personal safety, about the safety of the university and students generally. Plus the fact we also go to great lengths to prepare students for life in the city, because of course our student body comes from all over the country, from a wide variety of areas, rural, some very rural areas. And they don't really have the experience of living in the city, and it's quite a novel thing for them. But we do what we can to provide information about being safe and about the way to live your life in a manner that gives you the least cause for concern. And Merseyside Police do help us in that regard. They come in and speak to students about life in the city and about socialising, the nightlife, the nighttime economy, etc.
We have Portia here, who's a student here at the university. Portia, having heard this, what is your reaction? Do you feel less safe from whenever you first moved to Liverpool?
So I first moved to Liverpool, I think it was in 2015. And when I first arrived, I felt relatively safe. I was in the city centre. And then last year I moved out to near Toxteth and felt completely different. And the building that I lived in had lots of break-ins and the gangs were just loiter outside the building, didn't really have much regard for the way anybody else felt. So do you think there needs to be a bit of a focus on society as well? I know, Ian, that you specialise in sociology. Is that correct?
Collective behaviour, crowd psychology, that type of thing.
So why do you think there is that sort of scally mentality or attitude? Why don't you think it will go away?
Well, I can see, first of all, that you've absorbed the language as well. Scally mentality, that's a wonderful Liverpool expression. I don't think it's fundamentally any different than it's been for many decades. Throughout our service, which going back to 30 years in some cases, although it's hard to believe looking at us, it's always been a problem of youths congregating on the streets. What is perhaps symptomatic of the cuts and perhaps police officers being less visible is the fact that the deterrent effect perhaps isn't there, or the ability to engage with these gangs. Sometimes I only offer this as a contrary view, is that sometimes the appearance of a group of youths on the street can look quite intimidating, but when you actually see it and analyse it, it's literally nothing more than rowdy youths gathering. So there's a tendency sometimes to demonise and to sometimes overblow these things. But nonetheless, I can appreciate that it's very intimidating when you see a collection of people on the streets. But perhaps it's symptomatic of police officers being a little less visible than they have been in the past because of the level of cuts that we've talked about.
You do mention that Liverpool is a safe city, but when we look at the 16.4% rise in crime, how do you reassure Portia that that can be dealt with, especially with these cuts?
If you looked at crime trend from probably the early 2000s, you will see that there has been a decline, not just in terms of police recorded crime, where people may be a little sceptical, but also in terms of the crime survey of England and Wales. You will see that there is a decline from, say, around 2009 all the way down to 2016. And I accept that there is currently a spike in crime. So there's been an escalation in crime, but overall, the levels of crime, not just in Merseyside, but across the country, is significantly lower than it was 10 years ago. So overall, it's a relatively safe environment.
I think it's been significant as well that the levels in violent crime have generally been going down.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be taken in the round, and I think you have to look, when you're looking at any group of statistics, you have to look at them in quite some detail so we don't over egg the pudding.
The police service is really working really hard to reduce all crime across the board, to deal with not just serious crime but low-level crime, which in many respects that low-level crime is more impactive in some ways because it affects a broader range of people. But I would say that the future is looking really bright with people like Tom that I'm sure will be recruiting into the police service, who will bring new, fresh ideas in terms of how to tackle with some of these issues.
And speaking of students, yes, we have Tom Stretton here, who's a Level 5 policing undergrad at Liverpool John Moores. So Tom, do these cuts cause you to worry about your future in the police force?
I think there's definitely a worry there. I mean, from lots of people that I know, it is so much more difficult to get in the cops these days. I mean, just talking about Merseyside, we're looking at the moment at a 12-month period until the next recruit police officers. This is meaning more and more that people will have to join forces that may not be local to them and then possibly even transfer back to get where they want to be. Additionally, we're no longer seeing sort of the 18-year-old leaving school and joining the police. Now, whether that's a good thing or not, I'll leave up to yourselves. But we're seeing more and more people having to do things like being special constable first, PCSO. I myself am a special constable, and that's a big step up if, in terms of if you want to join the police after university.
What's your outlook on these cuts in terms of your safety? Would you say you worry?
I mean, I personally don't worry. When I live in Kensington. When I walk home at night, I've walked past groups of youths, you know, messing around, playing football and stuff like that. Never have I had any of them shout anything at me or throw anything at me or in any way be particularly aggressive towards me. And I think it's a bit overblown that these young lads are up causing mischief and targeting people. I think, you know, wherever you live, I mean, when I was young and used to play football on the streets, mm-hmm. I lived in a small village. And, you know, if I was in Liverpool, I'd probably be described as a mischievous youth. But when I was in the village, you know, it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. So I think people just need to have a better outlook that these aren't necessarily malicious groups of people. They're just out having fun, in effect, like kids do.
Mm-hmm. It's always been a strange phenomenon as well that even when recorded crime has been going down quite markedly, the fear of crime in people's minds has always remained quite high, disproportionately so. And that's driven by many factors, not just statistics and the reality, and it'll be their own experiences, but also, I almost hesitate to say this in current company, but the media do have a role to play in that as well, the press and media, in the way, because if you notice, it's quite sensational the way it's reported. Mm-hmm. For example, the police never conduct a search warrant in the morning. They raid premises. So it's an emotive subject, and it's reported in an emotive way. So that may have some, go some way to raising people's concerns about the
feeling. Creating a moral panic, in a sense, yeah. That's the just the way it's reported, the wording of ways.
That's the very phrase,
So I have a question for Richard. During your career, you worked with multiple police forces, both at home and abroad. Mm. Did any of these agencies experience cuts like we're seeing today?
Yeah, I did an inquiry with... Let me deal with the Spanish. Okay, so I dealt with an inquiry. It was a murder inquiry and a kidnap in Spain of a guy from Liverpool. And they are in a much worse position than we are in the UK. I walked away from that, I think, and we are really fortunate in the UK that despite the cuts that we are experiencing at the moment, I think we are well-resourced to a point. I think the UK are really good at what they do. And I don't think the police service say it often enough that I do think that, and I'll speak from personal experience in Liverpool, I think that in Liverpool, the people that investigate crime, the people that respond to crime are really good at what they do. And I would put us against anyone else in the world in terms of dealing with that.
An interesting read recently. The current Merseyside Police Commissioner has been asking Liverpudlians to help fund their force through an increase in council tax. Do you feel this is fair, that locals should have to pay more for a service that they've always had?
Well, you've always been paying.
There's always been a tax, but there's an increase in tax now.
What Jane Kennedy has asked for is a modest increase to avoid making further cuts to service, because she's voiced her concerns about it, as has the Chief Constable.
£18 million is apparently the asking. So obviously percentages in the tax will have to rise, and that is not going to go down well, do you feel?
No tax increase ever does. I'm not sure.
No one ever does.
I don't know the precise figure. I don't know if you know, but it comes up per capita, per household.
For an individual, I think it's talking pence.
Yeah, so... You know, I'd leave it up to individuals to say. I can only speak from a personal point of view with it. Were I asked to, would I be willing to spend a few extra pence on my council tax? I'd say yeah. I'd go. I'd probably have a pint less one week and go for it.
Well, thank you, everyone. Ian, Richard, Portia and Tom. And that's all from us. I've been Ross McCauley, and you've been listening to The Police Brief. Goodbye.